Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our sermon study this morning is our gospel lesson as we continue reading in the gospel according to St. Luke. Today we read in chapter 14 the first verse and then verses 7 to 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of our Lord. Dear friends in our Savior Jesus Christ, two popularly sought-after attitudes today are humility and self-denial. I hope you caught the true meaning of the word irony in that statement. Seems to me that when somebody shows an act of selflessness or self-denial, we see it plastered all over the news. Self-denial, humility, charity is a man-bites-dog story. Everybody is amazed by it. It gives people hope that maybe things have not gotten quite as bad as they seem to have gotten. That all may be true in the secular world, but it's not true in the kingdom of God. Humility, self-denial, charity, all of those things are characteristic of the head of the church, our ruler in the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ. Those qualities characterize us, his people, because we desire, don't we, to be like him. And so, not seeking honor, not seeking privilege, not seeking advantage for ourselves is what our Lord and Savior fully expects of us. In fact, it's what he compels in us by his own acts of humility, self-denial, and selflessness. Our Lord Jesus Christ acted in love and charity and humility for those who cannot repay him for what he did. And that is what he calls on us to do as well. And so, that leads us to our theme on the basis of God's word as we look when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee. Following Christ in self-denial. It means, first of all, that we do that in genuine humility. And it means that we do that in selfless charity. Already, Jesus was being carefully watched. The Pharisees could not understand this teacher, this rabbi, who, unlike them, never thought of self first. He always thought of those sinners, those people with whom the Pharisees would not associate. And instead, though, of avoiding those enemies, proud in their self-righteousness, Jesus accepted the invitation of one of them to come and eat in his house. And he took that opportunity to teach that Pharisee and those who were with him about humility and about charity. In the verses that our text skips, Jesus healed a man who had the disease called dropsy. And it was on the Sabbath day. What was Jesus showing them? That it's not outward obedience to some law that is really love, but rather a selfless heart, a humble and caring heart, is what God is really looking for. And Jesus modeled that for them in healing that sick man. But Jesus used that dinner then as a stepping off point for his parable on humility. He noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table. We're familiar with that parable. We've maybe even experienced it. How many times have you ever heard somebody at a wedding or someplace say, "Oh, let's go up and take the place of honor"? Well, we better not, because somebody might come and tell us to take a lower seat. Or we went in and we took a seat of honor, only to have the host come and say, "You can't sit there. That's for somebody more important than you. You're going to have to sit in the back." How humiliating for us to have to do that. Better, isn't it, for us to take a seat in the back? To take a place not of honor? And then have the host come and say at that wedding, "Oh, come on up. We want you to sit up front with the family. We want you to sit up front by the bride and her wedding party. We want you to have a place of honor with those others." What a wonderful, joyful experience that is, to be honored in that way. That is exactly what the Son of God, Jesus Christ, did to pay for our sins. He left his throne in heaven. He became a true human being. He humbled himself and became obedient to death to redeem us lost and condemned creatures. Jesus didn't take the highest place when he came to earth to be served, but he took the form of a servant to serve us. The Apostle Paul put it this way to the Philippians: "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Now, Jesus' humiliation, remember, is not that he became a human being, because Jesus is still a human being in his exaltation. His humiliation was placing himself under the law to obey it, placing himself on the cross to suffer God's wrath and punishment for our sin. He did those things for you and for me. He did that in humility. He did that in self-sacrifice, selflessness, and self-denial. Humility is not a moral virtue. Humility is not the opposite of pride. As if pride were a moral wrong and humiliation a moral virtue. We have an example here of what I mentioned last week, that Jesus is not a new Moses. There's no law here. There's no command here. You be humble. Be humble. Be self-denying. No, with this parable, Jesus shows us what he did. Paul said your attitude should be the same as Christ. And then he preaches the gospel to us. What Jesus did for us in his humiliation motivates us, changes our hearts, leads us to live a life opposite the life that the Pharisees lived. A life where they thought that they were better than others. A life where they were proud in their superiority, in their virtue over all sinners. Humility is first and foremost the admission to God that I am a sinner and that my sins condemn me and that I have no hope of saving myself. Humility is waiting on God to exalt us in Christ, to exalt us in that righteousness that Jesus earned for the world on the cross and gives to us through faith. Humiliation is not a moral virtue. Humiliation is not trying to climb up on God's throne and be Him. Humility is not exalting ourselves, but humbling ourselves so that God might exalt us by His grace in Christ. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Following Christ in self-denial is not only to live in genuine humility before God and others, but it is also living in unselfish charity, as Jesus shows us. I mentioned the Bible class this morning, and I'm wondering if maybe some of you are thinking, unselfish charity, that sounds a little bit redundant. I mean, isn't that saying really the same thing in two separate ways? No. I can be charitable and be very selfish. I can do acts and works of outward charity and do it for outward reasons. For example, I might give a very generous charitable gift to a hospital, and my only purpose in doing that is to get a nice tax write-off. There's nothing wrong with getting a tax write-off for that if it's offered, but it's not unselfish if that's the only reason that you do it. No, rather, Jesus shows us unselfish charity. Did you note that his emphasis changes in the second part here? In the first part of the parable, whom was he addressing? He was addressing the guests, telling them in humility, don't exalt yourself. Humble yourself so the host can exalt you. In the second part, Jesus' emphasis changes to the host. He's talking now to the host. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be paid at the resurrection of the righteousness. What I said about humility is also true about real charity. Real charity is not a moral virtue. It's not the opposite of withholding, of being selfish. Real charity is self-denial. It is doing good. It is doing something for others, knowing that they cannot repay you. And that is really the point of the second part of Jesus' parable. To be charitable from a selfless heart, knowing that those who received your mercy cannot repay you. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. He redeemed us. He saved us. The one true God in the person of the Son came into this world and gave himself up for our sins. And he did that knowing full well that we could never repay him. Jesus told the host, you know, next time you have a banquet, don't invite your brothers, your relatives. Don't invite the very rich, but rather invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind. If you invite that first group of people, there's no charity in that, because they're going to invite you to their house. They're going to repay you for what you did. But invite these others. They cannot repay you. They are the ones who really need your mercy. And we heard about those people also in our other lessons, about the prisoners. We think about our Jesus Cares program that we're going to begin in September. As we take the Word of God out to people without thinking about what we can get from them, including membership. We don't take the Word of God out to people thinking, boy, if we do this, we'll get them to join the church. That's not why we share God's Word with them. We share it with them because they need to hear it. Because they, like us, are in the same situation. That's where unselfish charity begins. When I recognize myself as one of those crippled, lame, blind, and poor whom God invites into the kingdom of God. It is absolutely pleasing to God and to be commended when you and I do selfless charity for those who are literally in those conditions. But Jesus is talking about those who are crippled in spirit, those who are poor in spirit, those who are lame and blind in their fear and their worry about their sins and about eternity. We invite them to the banquet. We go out and we invite them to come and enjoy that bread of life and to drink that living water of their Savior. And this circumstance of not being to repay, as I said, of course, is most true between us and God. These guests of the parable could not repay the host. You and I could never repay God for what he did for us in Jesus. But the beauty is, God doesn't expect us to repay him. God doesn't expect us to try to repay him. God simply calls us and invites us to come and to enjoy those blessings that he has given in Christ. As you and I go out and we invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind, knowing that they can't repay us, Jesus does say that the repayment will come as a blessing from God on Judgment Day. On Judgment Day, God will acknowledge, Christ will acknowledge our true, unselfish charity with the gospel of salvation. He will point to that as he also mentions the times that we, in his love, helped others in their needs. Those words are familiar when the king says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was thirsty and you gave me a cup of water to drink. He will acknowledge that we took the good news of our Savior to one and all, and that we did help them without seeking any advantage. The moral of Jesus' parable is not, be humble, be charitable. His saving message is, I have been humble. I have been selfless. I have denied myself, and I look to you to do the same. I look for you to live your Christian lives in humility and unselfish charity all the days of your life, right up to your entrance into the eternal banquet of righteousness and peace forever and ever. Amen.